Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject?
IXL now.
Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class?
Get an exclusive
IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts,
visit IXL.com/today
while adopting
today
to each child,
to get the most
meeting them where they are.
Program
plus,
out there
IXL
at the best
encourages
price.
Students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the ninth grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
In Louisiana, three police officers and two civilians are shot in a standoff at a home. In Massachusetts, a man is convicted of killing his father during a pond baptism. And in Charlotte, four law enforcement officers are killed in a shootout. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, May 1st, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
Woody Overton.
Woody Overton, the traveling Woody Overton.
The traveling Woody Overton. Y'all sit here a little, not as good as it is in the studio, but sometimes we just have to do it like this, right?
That's right. That's right. But we're not going to make them wait for the crime news because you're traveling and things of that nature. So
no, we got to have a true crime time. On a true crime show, no role, no Taylor Swift and all that stuff, just true crime all the time.
That's right.
And let's start out with a horrible story. and it's just crazy. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we got four police officers serving a warrant for a felon who was, you know, naturally, he was a really bad guy. He was wanted for possessing a firearm, which is a no-no, like 1495E. But they were serving a warrant, and they were killed, y'all. And four were killed, and four of the officers were wounded. And this happened on Monday at a North Carolina home. And some of the officers who rushed to the Charlotte neighborhood to rescue the first wave of downed officers were wounded as a second shooter began firing on them after they killed the wanted man. The chief said, "Today, we lost some heroes who were out simply trying to keep our community safe," said Chief Jennings. And, y'all, after a three-hour standoff, the suburban Charlotte home was torn open as these armored vehicles, and they smashed into it, and they ripped off the windows and all, you know, ripped out the doors that were left broken. And several armored vehicles were parked across the yard, and some with tree branches dangling off of them. So when they went in after they shot the cops, they went in mass force, right? So the U.S. Marshals Task Force was fired on one by a one suspect as they approached the house. The man was killed in the front yard. And his name was not released, and we wouldn't say a piece of shit name anyway. The chief said he was wanted as a felon for illegally possessing a weapon. Now, a second person then fired on officers from inside the home where a high-powered rifle was found. And a woman and a 17-year-old male were found in the home after the standoff, and they're being questioned. The Marshal Service confirmed one of its agents was killed, and two officers from the State Department of Adult Corrections, y'all, that's our probation poll, were also killed. And this according to North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. The governor was in Charlotte and was speaking to the families of the officers who were killed and hurt. And the Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer, Joshua Iyer, died a few hours later at the hospital. Now, Iyer was named the officer of the month for the police force, y'all, just last, like 2 weeks ago. And the chief said he certainly gave his life and dedicated his life to protecting our citizens. One of the other members of the task force, which made up of federal agents and other officers from across the region, was injured. Three other Charlotte Mecklenburg police officers who responded to the scene were shot while trying to rescue the wounded officers. Now, neighbors said the gunfire lasted for several minutes. The TV station said their helicopter captured an armored vehicle driving through yards, knocking over recycling bins before officers were removed. And a person that they removed a person with blood on their shirt who was then loaded onto an ambulance. Now, after the home was cleared, the helicopter pilot said he couldn't show the front lawn of the home because the scene was too graphic and disturbing. A lot of the questions that need to be answered, we don't even know what those questions are now, Jenny said. That's the chief, y'all. A somberly briefing reporters less than 4 hours after the shooting. If we have to get a full understanding of why this occurred and also uphold the integrity of the investigation. So many of the roads into the area, including the Interstate 77, were closed so ambulances could get to the hospitals faster. And TV footage showed ambulances speeding to the hospitals, escorted by vehicles both in the front and behind with their sirens wailing. What that means, y'all, that the cops that were there and the MARC units cleared, they were making sure they could get to the hospital as fast as they could. Risa Lane was cleaning her house when she heard the first shots ring out. There was a pause, then a second set of shots, and then a third. And she stepped outside. She said, when we came outside, there were no cops at all. Then cops started rushing in. And she said, adding armored SWAT trucks quickly followed, and they were going over the grass, everything, and they started shooting again. Now, the neighborhood of one and two-story brick homes and small trim lawns is a very safe place, says one of the neighbors on the street. So I see like 50 police cars zooming in. Then I hear a gunshot, he said. And on the front porch of the house, he shares with his cousin. He said, I was scared because there was so much going on. another neighbor, William Cunningham, was moved to tears as he sat on his porch. He said he's a veteran operation Desert Storm that never expected such violence in his own neighborhood. To bless those officers and bless their families, nobody should get killed over a warrant. Y'all, it's just horrible, horrible thing, but it happens every day. Y'all, and this task force, in just 6 years, they've arrested more than 8,900 fugitives in this area. So, and, the four heroes, and then all of the heroes tried to save them and everything else, and like a war zone. These guys got up, they went to take a bad guy off the street who they knew were bad, was bad. Basically, they were trying to make the neighborhood safer, and they gave their lives for it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, some all give some and some give all.
Yeah.
They were hard prayers throughout them.
Amen. And, true heroes, and you've said it how many times on this show that when you're a police officer, you put on that uniform in the morning and you don't know if you're coming back.
Right. And, that's never something that's foremost in your mind. You don't put on the uniform and be like, ooh, today might be the day I die. I never did, but it's always in the back of your mind that, you're doing a job, save your job in the world.
Yeah. Wow. Prayers to those families.
That's crazy.
I wish I wouldn't move on right to another police shooting, but one occurred right here in Louisiana that we're going to tell you about. A gunman has died after wounding three Louisiana police officers during a standoff in Kenner. This was on Sunday. Kenner, Louisiana, y'all, is about 15 miles west of New Orleans. The incident happened after police tried to enter the home of a man wanted in connection with the shooting of two people earlier in the day. Kenner Police Chief Keith Connolly and Joseph Lapinto of the JPSO, which is the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, held a press conference discussing it. The gunman, identified by police as Michael Lathers, who is 31, was shot dead by a police sniper. During the incident, three Kenner Police Department officers were shot, and eventually the suspect was fatally shot. All three Kenner police officers are actually now out of the hospital, thank God. There was an outstanding warrant for Lathers in that incident. The warrant was obtained, and the Kenner Police SWAT team arrived on the scene to execute that warrant. The team made entry into the residence and immediately began receiving fire. At least one SWAT member returned fire. Three officers were shot, and it's unknown if Lathers was struck during that initial contact. They haven't released that yet. Following this, police requested the assistance of JPSO, and within minutes, Lathers began shooting at a JPSO armored vehicle in which deputies were stationed. Multiple attempts were made to contact Lathers to open negotiations, but all efforts were unsuccessful. After earlier firing at an armored vehicle, Lathers returned to a position which he could again fire from the vehicle. A JPSO sniper was able to fire at Lathers, who was fatally wounded, and he was pronounced dead at that scene.
Wow. I was on the SWAT team, the SRT, whatever they call it now. And I remember when Detective Terry Malone, was working narcotics in Baton Rouge, and it was commonplace. You could serve warrants back then without using the SWAT team. It takes a while. They got to get called out, and they got to get briefed, and they do surveillance on the home and all kinds of different things like that. But when Malone and them hit the door, it was in Baton Rouge City, and he was killed. Right. And just I hate the word routine, but it was a routine narcotic search warrants like they were doing every day. And after that, it came down, you don't serve any felony, no, not warrant, without the SWAT team to do it. Now, the SWAT teams are doing it, and of course they're the best trained, and you know, they practice and do it over and over again, but they're still getting shot up.
Yeah.
You know, and people wonder why they have these armored cars. He just said it, and Jake just said he fired at the armored car because he knew the cops were in it. And in North Carolina, you know, they had brought in the armored car, thankfully, to be able to shield more victims from the gunfire. Crazy. I don't know what the hell the people are thinking.
That's right. And, you know, these with the weapons being so high powered now, you know, a lot of these the guys that these police are having to deal with are using AK-47s practically and just really high powered rifles, and they'll go right through a regular police car like a tin can, you know. Right. So
and actually even in a regular bulletproof vest.
Yeah,
SWAT guys wear the Kevlar plates in on top of their bulletproof vest, but it's still, you know, it's the most powerful rifle you can get just about. Here's the other thing: you hear all these shootouts, you never hear where the bad guy gets away. I don't know what the hell they think they're going to do. I mean, it's not like you're going to file on the police, and chances are you're going to get killed. But it's unfortunate that you're a douchebag and you take innocent law enforcement officers with you.
That's right. I agree.
Crazy, crazy, man. Crazy times. Well, let me tell you about another one. Let's go to Florida. And a potential serial killer was captured in Florida after two women were discovered strangled to death. And this is according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Deputy said Carlos Yadiel Baez Nevis, 25, was arrested for the death of Aisha Flowers, who was 41, and Nicole Daniels, who was 44. And their bodies were found in two separate months, y'all. The first one in March and the second one in April. Because of our detectives' relentless efforts in this case, they stopped Baez Nevis from becoming a prolific serial killer, according to Orange County Sheriff John Mina. And Baez Nevis, I'm killing this guy's name, but Baez Nevis was arrested and charged with two counts of first-degree murder after he was pulled over during a traffic stop for driving with a suspended license on Friday. Then during the interview with detectives, he told him he had moved to Central Florida from Puerto Rico in 2020, and he could confess, y'all, to both of the murders. Law enforcement added that Nevis targeted the most vulnerable women he could, transient women who traded sex for money. And that's common. If you go back and listen to Sam Little, it's, you know, harder to get people to come forward.
Nobody misses them.
Right. And it's, anyway, the sheriff being said, because he is now off the streets, the community is now safer. He targeted women who he clearly thought would not be missed. He murdered them and dumped their bodies on the side of the road like they were trash. But very, very grateful and thankful for our great detectives who knew that the Edith and Nicole's lives were meaningful and that they, of course, deserve justice like all of us do. And that's, of course, the sheriff, y'all. Deputy stated on two separate occasions, about a month apart, Nevis picked up Flowers and Daniels and had sex with them before strangling them to death. He then drove to the intersection and pushed their lifeless bodies out of his truck and drove home. The discovery of both women's bodies in the same location triggered an investigation which revealed other similarities, including both victims being transient in the East Orlando area, and both having a history of narcotics usage, and both were found nude or nearly nude. And that's according to the arrest warrant, y'all. Authorities said he is being held without bond, actually, but on the two counts of first-degree murder. And the sheriff said in cases like these, there is the possibility of other victims, and they're working to determine if he was involved in any other incidents elsewhere in the country, which he probably was. He killed two women in a month's time. So to me, that is the definition of a serial killer. But I think this is a person who's clearly capable of doing this and may have done it in the past. And the fact that he targeted women that he thought would not be missed leads you to believe as well that he is a killer, probably will get killed again. That's what Sheriff Bean said. So, I mean, I hate it for those women, but I bet you he does have more bodies on him than that. And you don't just start out, you know, basically raping and choking to death prostitutes and kicking them out like trash.
Right. And, you know, as you said, those are women that they're chosen because they're high risk as far as their lifestyles. And so the perpetrator looks at that as easy targets. They may not be missed. They don't have the family support in a lot of cases that.
Well, I mean, even homes, transients, and, you know, they may be sleeping in hotels or doing whatever, and they move from area to area. And of course, probably a person who lived a normal lifestyle wouldn't have gotten in a car with this asshole.
Right.
They did because that was their profession, and they need the money to continue, you know, to stop from getting dope sick, if you will. So,
Yeah. Piece of shit right there.
All right, well, he won't be killing anymore.
That's right. But I wouldn't be surprised, and I agree with you that there's probably more that's going to come out on this.
Yeah, but they're tracking his movement and then start looking at open cold cases in all these areas, just like Sam Little, who confessed to killing over 90 all throughout the country, and all of them high-risk victims.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Massachusetts, and a jury has found a 22-year-old man guilty of killing his father while performing an exorcism in a local pond in order to rid him of demons. Yep, you heard me right.
Oh, Lord.
This was in Plymouth County, and earlier this week, Jack Callahan was convicted of involuntary manslaughter for the death of his father, Scott Callahan. The jury reached the verdict after an 8-day trial and 25 hours of deliberation. That's a lot. I mean, that's an 8-day trial is what would you say the average trial for a murder case is, you know, Woody?
It depends, and I think Louisiana, the average murder trial is so much shorter because we have so many preliminary motions and hearings and all that. So where it may take you 2 or 3 years to get to your trial. In my career, it seemed to me like our murder cases were a lot shorter, 7 days, maybe, you know, something like that. Where like in the OJ cases is a couple months, you know. But the jury being out for 25 hours is not good for the prosecution. The longer they're out, the worse it is for the prosecution, but evidently they got it on this one.
Yeah, well, in the early morning hours of June 28th, 2021, police...
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh, and when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com /today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
Officers responded to a home in Plymouth County, Massachusetts, after someone called to say Jack Callahan, then 19, was acting erratically and saying Scott Callahan was missing. When police arrived at the home, they found Callahan distraught and hyperventilating, the son. Police and EMS were simultaneously responding to a pond and located Scott Callahan, his dad, in the water. He was not responsive, and medics transported him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Investigators learned Callahan got a ride to Boston to pick up his father and return home. Callahan retrieved his dad at a bar after he left an alcohol abuse treatment center. The rideshare service dropped him off near the pond where they got into an argument. Callahan began submerging his father under the water several times, claiming he was baptizing his father because he saw a demon in his eyes. The statement said Callahan left his father floating in that pond. The medical examiner determined Scott Callahan had a cut on his head and water in his lungs. The cause of death obviously was drowning, and manner of death was homicide.
Wow, that's crazy.
They make all types in this world.
Yeah, they kill, trying to get out the demon. And I'm pretty sure that guy was the one who had the demons, right? Crazy.
And to drown someone, what, you know, the rage involved in that. Because you know that person's struggling.
And drown them in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
And look, again, we want to say, y'all, I know you're hearing popping every now and then, and we're doing the best we can. So
yeah, but we're still working on it. It's certainly not Jim's fault. All right, y'all, last week we told you about Glenn Sullivan, a senior who was sentenced to castration. I think 50-something years plus castration for impregnating a 14-year-old, then the DNA test came back, and of course you can't deny that it was done, right? And I told you I had a long and storied history with him, and you know, it's just a meth deal and piece of shit and everything else. Well, let me tell you about the offspring, and who is one of the characters, and four characters in this shitty story, but it's not, I mean, it's shitty for the person, for the victim, okay? You know what I hate, Jim Chapman, more than anything? I hate a thief. I'd almost rather deal with a murderer than a thief. Yeah. But in Holden, Louisiana, which is the same place Glenn Sullivan Senior's from, I can tell you where his house is and everything else. In Holden, Louisiana, four men have been arrested for stealing a 28-foot trailer and cutting it up and selling for scrap. All right. Mm. Well, I mean, you know, you're taking somebody's livelihood, right? That trailer, and I mean, you have a 28-foot trailer because you're hauling some big-ass piece of equipment, right? But investigators say the contractor's trailer was stolen February 1st while it was parked overnight near Holden. According to the report, Larry Terrio, 26, Darren Blunt, 45, I've had history with him, Jason Wadsworth, 27, and Glenn Sullivan, Jr., 23, right? And there you go. They cut up the $25,000 trailer into pieces, and guess how much they got, Jim Chapman?
How much?
$25,000. They got $500 to sell the metal in a local scrapyard. And the detectives were able to recover the trailer's axles, rims, and tires. Well, that doesn't really help, right?
It's not going to do you much good.
So they've all been charged with felony theft, and you know, it's just stupid. And you know, some poor guy. That's why we all paying so much in insurance and everything else, because idiots like these won't stop being idiots and steal a trailer, cut it up, take someone's livelihood. Got to file an insurance claim now, and they'll probably all get probation or something.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I wonder how they were able to figure out the trailer aspect, like who it belonged to.
Serial numbers. It's just trailers have VIN numbers and hidden VIN numbers on them, just like vehicles do.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows where your VIN number is up on your dash and your car, but they have like six more hidden on different pieces of the engine and underneath the body and stuff like that. And I know for a fact the trailers have the same thing, because we used to have to go back out. People would buy trailers or make homemade trailers. We would have to go out and certify them that they were roadworthy, et cetera, and give them some type of form where they could take it to the DMV to register it. Now, this homemade trailer don't have all the hidden serial numbers. And then they'll have like a stamp on the hitch or whatever. Right. The 28-foot trailer. I mean, that's long.
It's
a $25,000 trailer. That's like a car.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, and 28 feet's a long way. So
yeah, that's it. They were definitely making a living off of it. These assholes can't go get a job.
Well, we're gonna bring you to Colorado, and we've been giving you a lot of reports on police officers. We're gonna give you a positive one here. Four Colorado police officers were dispatched to a home early one morning last week to investigate reports of a woman screaming. None of them could expect what happened next. The Greeley, Colorado Police Department officers arrived at a home about an hour away from Boulder to find the 24-year-old woman actively in labor after her water broke. Almost immediately after they called, EMTs for assistance, they heard a faint cry. The first baby boy had been delivered. That's right. We said the first. But the baby was turning blue. It was a cold day, and it was raining and snowing. One officer located bread ties to tie off the umbilical cord. How about that for MacGyver? While another ran to nearby homes and collected towels and blankets to help keep that baby warm. A third officer, who was still with the new mother, then tied off the umbilical cord and cut it. The fourth officer rushed the baby boy back to his patrol, where it was much warmer. The baby boy did stop breathing while inside the patrol vehicle, prompting the officer to administer infant CPR. Luckily, medics arrived shortly after to help that newborn. That's when the new mother told the officer she was actually expecting two more babies. Needless to say, they called for more medical personnel. Now, while the officers were comforting the mother, guess what? The second baby boy was delivered with the assistance of those officers. Officers wrapped that baby up, tied off the umbilical cord, and cut it. Baby number two was also rushed to the ambulance, where medical personnel were still tending to the first baby. The mother was brought by ambulance to a local hospital, where she was taken into surgery and delivered the final triplet. Her two other newborns were taken to the same hospital for medical care. Police said the triplets, who had strong heartbeats, were receiving care in the neonatal intensive care unit. The 24-year-old woman went into labor while home alone, and her phone had died. So she attempted to go to a neighbor's home to call 911. The police chief said he was amazed at the teamwork, ingenuity, and care of the officers, who were faced with what you would call a lofty expectation. The success of this call is a success to our officers, training, and partnerships with public safety, the chief said. So how about that? Triplets.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I'm sure those officers were freaking out when the first one come out, much less the second one. Right. And then a third one's expected. So, had you ever dealt with that? Had you ever had a situation like that?
I've, I was just about to say, you know, all my years, and I've heard of it, I know at least one guy who had to deliver a baby on the side of the road, but triplets? And hey, how does that work? Does the umbilical cord go from one baby to the next baby to the next baby?
I should know this considering I have twins, but I'm not even going to try to answer because my wife will laugh if I get it wrong. So I'm going to defer. I'm going to punt that one.
Well, you said he tied off a cord with whatever it was, and I was like,
a bread tie.
Yeah. How many loaves of bread did he have? Maybe it's all one cord. I don't know.
That's a great amazing question. On that subject, you actually know this guy, but here in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, the LPSO here, I know Lance Landry had a situation. Yeah. It might have been late last year or early this year where he had to deliver a baby with another officer. And the interesting thing about Lance, as you know, is he was an EMT, and he was actually a helicopter EMT prior to joining the sheriff's office. So he had some training, thank God.
I actually got to train him when he was a reserve deputy.
Yep.
I was a field training officer. He's a very sharp individual. I knew he'd do well.
Yeah, what a great guy, and he got some award for that. I can't remember what it was, but shout out to Lance Landry, I guess.
Yeah, and bringing the babies in the world.
That's it.
I bet he's glad he didn't have three of them.
I'm sure. Oh yeah. Even a traveling Woody Overton does a kinky.
Yeah, and this one's different, y'all. This should be your segment, Jim, but it has to do with traveling. And let's take you to El Paso, Texas. And April is a Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month.
Hmm.
And the FBI is once again taking this opportunity to alert the public about a serious federal crime that is on the rise, which is sexual assault aboard an aircraft.
Oof.
I mean, I didn't know that was a big deal, but evidently it is. Now, while sexual assault can happen anywhere, many people who fly while traveling do not realize that sexual assault can and do occur on airplanes. Most passengers travel by air without incident, but if you or a loved one encounter what you believe is a physical or verbal sexual misconduct, immediately alert your flight attendant that said, the FBI special agent in charge in El Paso. He said flyers should take precautions and always be aware of their surroundings. In each of its 56 field offices, the FBI has airport liaison agents, or they're called ALAs. I didn't know that. But they're assigned to the nearly 450 U.S. aviation facilities that have passenger screening operations, which are regulated by the TSA. Now, the ALAs respond to crimes aboard aircraft, which is a violation that falls within the FBI special investigative jurisdiction. They said sexual assault aboard an aircraft is a felony that can be punishable by prison. And many incidents are not reported immediately or not reported at all. Law enforcement urges anyone who believes they've been sexually assaulted to alert a member of the flight crew. Now, in flight, sexual assault generally occur on longer flights than when the cabin is dark. The victims are usually in the middle or window seats, sleeping and covered with a blanket or a jacket. Victims report waking up to find the perpetrator's hands inside their clothing or underwear. Many passengers may consume alcohol or take prescription drugs to relax or sleep, and this can both lend a false sense of security and may tempt the offenders to find these victims vulnerable. Now, in addition, offenders are known to take advantage of the fact that some victims might not report an incident because they're embarrassed and they don't want to cause a scene, or may try to convince themselves the assault was accidental. Now, here are some of the suggested precautions passengers can take before and during the flight. One, trust your gut. Offenders will often test their victims, sometimes pretending to brush against them to see how they react or if they wake up, if such behavior occurs, you got to establish boundaries and consider asking to be moved to another seat. Two, recognize that mixing alcohol with sleeping pills or other medication on an overnight flight increases your risk, right? Three, if your seatmate is a stranger, no matter how polite he or she may seem, keep the armrest down, you know, between you. Four, if you arrange it for a child to fly on a company, try to reserve an aisle seat so flight attendants can keep a closer watch on them. Minors are known targets. And five, if an incident happens, report it immediately to the flight crew and ask if they record the attacker's identity and report the incident, and they can alert law enforcement if necessary. So anyway,
yeah,
just a little public service, y'all. I guess it happens everywhere, but it evidently it's on the rise on airplanes.
Look, you've been hearing about it. That how many mile high crimes have I done where these guys are doing stuff like that? Yeah, it seems like it is on the rise, and much so that they're having to release an alert on it. Which
right, I mean, for the FBI to come out, the government to come out and write anything type of alert. It's a big deal, right?
That's right. And I got one more for you today.
All right.
And this is a WTF. How about that?
What the fuck?
I definitely said that when I read this, and we're going to bring you to Florida and road rage. How about that? That's definitely on the rise. An incident took a saucy turn when a Florida man got fed up with glaring headlights and resorted to flinging pasta with sauce at another driver, striking him through his open window. Nolan Goings, who is 46, was arrested with battery after the food fight that took place in St. Petersburg, Florida. This was around 9 p.m. on last Thursday. According to an arrest affidavit from the, you guessed it, Pinellas County Sheriff's Office.
You can't make that up.
They wild in Pinellas.
They're crazy.
The road rage incident stemmed from those glaring headlights I told you about. Goings hit the man who was driving his car. He escaped the pasta attack unscathed without injuries. Though he did have sauce all over his arms, legs, and torso. Goings was later found with the same food stains on his right sleeve of his shirt, so they knew he was the one that did it, and he was taken into custody. So that's one way to handle it.
Pasta road rage,
man.
And had to clean the sauce off of him, right? Oh my God.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy with these new LED headlights that they have, or I say new, they've been around a little while, but some of them are super bright, and you think somebody's riding and passing in front of you with their brights on, when in reality they're not. It's just these lights are so bright.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So maybe that was the situation, but
there you have it. The pocket instead of bullets. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We do want to shout out, the America's favorite Dancing with the Star,
right?
Our own little lifer, Lori Johnson, won the Dancing with the Stars for Big Buddy competition in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it was awesome. I was there. She did amazing. She danced to, Tina Turner's, Proud Mary. How about that?
Right.
That's a great song.
I got to see the video. I think you're the one that posted the video of it. Her actually doing dancing, and the best baker chickie in the world got some moves.
She got some moves, man. She got some moves. And look, the best part of the whole thing, she raised almost $30,000 for the Big Buddy program.
She's awesome. We love you, Lori Johnson. And you know, thanks for Hancock, for Whitney, for letting her be in the contest and representing them. And, you know, what a great, great call. But she looks beautiful.
Yes.
And I think she just did a heck of a job.
She really did.
And she won.
She won. She rocked it. So shout out to her. Any final thoughts, Mr. Woody Everton?
No, I just love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Y'all deal with the sound issues of, you know, the next couple of episodes, and then we'll be back straight. And just love y'all, and thank you for liking and sharing. And please go leave us a review if you're so inclined. And best fans in the world. No, hands down, best fans in the world. Hands down.
Nobody liked the Lifers, that's for sure.
Right? That's right.
All right, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everson.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily, peace.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big.